Well, it is cause for great celebration today. Great, great celebration. I am so excited, and I want you to get your hearts ready because you are about to be blessed by one of the most powerful, most sought-after preachers in our country, and I am just so excited that he is here with us this morning. I want you to welcome with me Pastor Mike Walren, so come on and give God some praise for him today. Yes. Could not be happier that he has been able to come and to help me celebrate our anniversary, my anniversary at the incredible Greenwood Baptist Church. Pastor Mike is a tremendous mentor to me. He is the one who has most taught me how to do this church thing in a way that lives up to the high standards of the carpenter. Because church often doesn't act like it knows the carpenter, but Pastor Mike has walked the walk and has talked the talk. He is the senior pastor of First Corinthian Baptist Church. If you got some FCBC love in the house, come on, just say hello. If you're from FCBC, yes, we see you. Good morning, good morning. He has been there for 15 years as their senior pastor, and I had the honor of being there for 5 of those years. Incredible, transformative years. Pastor Mike grew that church from 300 to 11,000, and he made it look easy. look easy, I said, look. But he did that not just by seeking to grow the church in terms of numbers. He did that not just by chasing after numbers. He did that because he taught people how to live the lives they were created to live, how to love themselves and others beyond the limits of their prejudices, and how to serve the community and the world. He taught people how to be transformed and therefore to transform what they see around them. And so he started not just a church, but a movement. And it caught fire. And so he is a gifted preacher, a gifted teacher. He teaches other pastors how to pastor. And we are so grateful to have him this morning. And I am grateful not just that he's here to help us celebrate that I've been here for a year, but I'm grateful just to hear him. Because, and I'm sure you will agree with me, hearing him every time is a life-changing experience because God uses this man in a mighty way. So Pastor Mike, I'm so grateful that you're here to celebrate with us today. We are all eagerly anticipating the word that God will bring through you. We thank you not just for being here today, but for everything that you have done for me and for the world through your ministry. So come on, let's give God one more round of applause, of praise for Pastor Mike. And the next voice that you hear after a selection from our music ministry will be that of Pastor Mike Walren.
Church, say amen. Amen. Come on, say amen again. Amen. Say amen like you're glad to be in the house of the Lord on this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Here's what I want you to do, Greenwood. Just thank God for your pastor, Pastor Willa Rose Johnson. Come on, you can do better than that. She's amazing. And a true gift to God, and she was and continues to be a gift to FCBC. We're grateful to have had her with us, the time you were with us. It was truly a blessing, and you have a pearl of great price, Greenwood, and don't ever forget that. A tremendous gift to the kingdom. We're glad to be here, and those FCBC family members who are here today, great to see you, but it's good to be back here at Greenwood and sharing with you this morning. We apologize for getting here late, but, you know, it's Marathon Sunday, and so we had to navigate and negotiate different roads getting here from Harlem, but we were able to make it here safely, and so we again thank God for that. I want to also say congratulations to Pastor Willa. Because this year went rather quickly, but I understand because when you're doing this work, time actually moves very quickly when you're serving God and doing God's work on this level. So congratulations to you for this year, the first year of many, and they all of the celebrations have great purpose and great meaning. We just celebrated my 15th year at FCBC, but But it is actually my 23rd year pastoring. I did 8.5 years in Durham, North Carolina, before coming back home to New York. So we're grateful, and grateful to have not only members, but grateful to have my wife here, Reverend Dr. Lakeisha Walright. And just last weekend, we had a tremendous celebration for her, as for her inauguration as the first female president of New York Theological Seminary. So we are grateful. Listen, I won't keep you long. Stand with me in reverence of God's word. I'm going to read two translations of this passage. One from the book of Jude. Jude is only one chapter, so Jude verses 24 and 25. I'm going to read it from the New Revised Standard Version, and then I'm going to read it from the Message Bible. Here's how it reads. Familiar passage. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and make you stand without a blemish in the presence of his glory with rejoicing. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. I want to read that in the Message Bible. It reads a little bit different. And I actually like this translation better. And now to him who can keep you on your feet, standing tall in his bright presence, fresh and celebrating, to our one God, our only Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Master, be glory, majesty, strength, and rule before all time, and now and to the end of all time. And instead of saying amen, the Message Bible just simply says, yes, yes. Come on, let's pray. God, we bless your name. We honor you today. We are grateful, oh God, for how you have been moving in this space and in this place. We thank you, God, for these 12 months, this 1 year of faithful service by your servant, Pastor Willa. We come to celebrate the first of many celebrations, oh God, in the ministry you've birthed in her, which you're doing through her and with her. God, we celebrate at the end of the day your new move, and we anticipate the next move, oh God. So God, do what you do best, and that's be God all by yourself. And we'll be sure to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise, not because you need it, God, but because you deserve it. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Listen, remain standing with me. Don't sit down yet. I want to read that Message Bible version again, Jude 1, 24, 25. Here's how it reads again. And now to him who can keep you on your feet, standing tall in his bright presence, fresh and celebrating, to our one God, our only Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Master, be glory, majesty, strength, and rule before all time and now to the end of all time. Yes. Yes. Amen. Come on, put your hands together. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise as you take your seat. Now to him who is able to keep you on your feet, standing tall in his bright presence, fresh and celebrating. These words by the writer of Jude leap off of the page in many ways and directly into our spirits. These words uttered by Jude are not words that one would declare at the initiating engagement of your journey with God. For when you begin a journey with God, you cannot say, and now unto him who is able. Because oftentimes our journeys, or the beginning of our journeys with God, are filled with anxiety and sometimes suspicion and sometimes confusion and even sometimes doubt. These words are not the initial words that one declares at the beginning of your God journey. These words have been referred to by many as benedictory words, words that we use to seal some religious ceremony, a benediction, if you will. But in my view, these are not initiating words, nor are these benedictory words. These words found in Jude's writing are culminating words. You don't begin here, you don't close here, you grow here. You get to this place after a journey with God. In other words, you can't say now unto him who is able to keep me on my feet unless you've been through some things before and experienced some difficulties and some challenges and some hardships that helps you understand that at the end of the day, all the glory belongs to God. You've had to go through some fights and survive. You've had to endure some hardships and survive. You had to go through some difficult days, some dark moments and survive. And when you've come through those moments that should have broken you, should have left you almost at the borders of insanity, when you realize that it was only God that sustained you and enabled you to endure this far along the journey, then you can say, and now unto him who is able to keep me on my feet, and now unto him. Very briefly, I want to talk about something, because what I realize is that there is a road that you must take to get to now. There's a path you take to be able to say now unto him who is able to keep you on your feet. Here's what I've learned very briefly. You can't say now unto him, Pastor Willa, until you have faced them. Who are them? They are the ones who doubt who you are. They are the ones who don't see the totality or the fullness of who God has created you to be. They are the ones who are blind to your significance, blind to your uniqueness, who actually don't see the fullness of you because they are blinded by their own limitations. They are the ones who often try to hinder you, undermine you, stop you, but they don't realize that when they try to undermine, hinder, and stop you, they're working against what God is doing in you. They are the ones who try to control, manipulate, coerce, and try to somehow shape you in their own image. Oh, this is not an easy word this morning, but you need to hear this. They are persons who don't want to conform to what God is doing, but rather constrict what God is doing through you. And because they cannot get you to conform and capitulate to their desires, they then don't want to see what God will do in God's fullness in your life. And so they try to restrict you. They try to constrain you. They try to undermine you. They try to speak against you. They try to stop you. They try to halt you. But here's a problem. When they mess with you, they're picking on God's child. And at the end of the day, you have to remind them every now and again that even though you may seem to be the target of their anger, animosity, frustration, it is not you that they're wrestling with, especially when you are a manifestation of God's divine creativity and imagination. You do not fight against me. You're wrestling with the God who sent me. And at the end of the day, Moses, through that writing, helped us understand it. You really can't fight against God's move. You may kick against it, be mad at it, but you can't stop God's move. So you cannot say now unto him until you have faced them. And be careful when you find yourself trying to conform to them. Don't be surprised when you're being obedient to God and they show up. Don't be surprised when you're trying to honor God and they show up. Einstein put it this way. He said, great spirits have always faced violent opposition from mediocre minds. Oh, gosh. Great spirits have always faced violent opposition from mediocre minds. So don't be surprised when they show up. They're simply fueling your testimony, strengthening your witness, and deepening your commitment. Now unto him who is able to keep you on your feet. In order to say that you, one, have to face them, two, you have to confront you. That's not an easy pill. So many of us have allowed them to shape us that we've lost ourselves trying to please them. We've lost the fullness of our own identity trying to please them, satisfy them, make them happy. And it's a dangerous thing when you spend energy making other people happy and maintaining your own misery. When you're seeking to make other people pleased with what you're doing, but you lose a sense of who you are in the midst of trying to please them. Many years ago, when I first started pastoring, Pastor Will, it was during my first year of pastoring, and I was having some challenges where I was, and God had to help me understand some things. I thought that as a pastor, my role was to make everybody happy. I thought I was supposed to keep everybody on the same page, working together the same way, and somehow I was measuring my effectiveness as a pastor by the response and reaction that were positive from the members. And then one day, in the midst of my frustration, and my wife can tell you, my frustration, my angst, but also the weight it was weighing on me, God burst into my den. The Spirit moved into the den in our house we were living at the time and hit me with a word that has stayed with me for 23 years of pastoring. God said, stop trying to please people who are not trying to please me. When you try to please people who are not trying to please God, you find yourself out of order with the God who called you to this in the first place. No, don't capitulate to their understandings. Don't lose yourself trying to please them. Be clear about who you are. Have your own personal love affair with yourself. When was the last time you loved on yourself, hugged on yourself, spoke life into yourself, and reminded yourself who you really were? No, you got to confront you. Not just the you you love, but the you you don't like. See, what happens is when I say love you, it becomes a difficult prospect for many of us because then we have to search what you are you talking about. Because when you find yourself trying to please everybody, you experience this kind of personality dysfunction or what you would call multiple personality disorder. That means you've tried to conform to so many different forms of people that you've not only lost yourself, but you've taken on other personalities that are not yours. And you are no longer you, but you've got to be able to face you in spite of all the blemishes and the scars and the issues. Because here's the real headliner. No one in here, no matter how holy or sanctified you think you are, no matter how twice born you may feel, no matter how connected you are to God, you are not issueless. You are not issueless. You do not enter this place without any issues that you are wrestling through. I know we love to act in church as though we have it all together, as though everything is in order, but no one goes to the emergency room to see a doctor if they're not hurting. You have issues. We have issues. We all have issues. But at the end of the day, we ought to be on a road where we're committed to expressing the uniqueness of who we are. No, every day you ought to get up in the morning, look in the mirror and say, I love you, and mean it. I love me. Oh, my God, I love me so much, I refuse to lose me in you. I love me so much, I refuse to surrender the fullness of my identity to people who are confused about who they are. No, you cannot say now unto him unless you have faced them, confronted you, and lastly, survived it. Oh, you got to get this. Survived it. I already said, oftentimes you can declare these words when you've come through some things. All of us in here have survived it. And it has multiple names depending on the context and the situation. Sometimes we call them trials and tribulation and struggles and hardship and sickness and angst and death and pressure and people. It, but you've survived it. There's no one here under the sound of my voice who has not survived some hardships in your life. I know I'm not talking by myself or to myself this morning. There are more than a few of us in here who have survived some hardship. Now, I know sometimes in our survival mode, we forget to honor God in our fullness because we think we're too cute to surrender to a God who has helped us survive what we've gone through. But no, if you survive some things, every time you get a chance, you ought to celebrate what God has kept you through and enabled you to endure. You survived it. So you may not be where you ultimately want to be, but you're not where you used to be, which means you have to learn to cultivate praise for your progress, that you're moving along the way, that you're better than you were. You're not all that you will be, but you have moved in a direction that has enabled you to survive the things you've been through in your life. You survived it, so give yourself credit. You survived it, so be able to help yourself understand that God has been working with you and through you every step of the way. And I know in Greenwood today, in Brooklyn right now, on this corner, there are some survivors in this chapel who can testify that the only way I made it is because God has been walking with me and talking with me and reminding me who I belong to. I survived it. You survived it. When you faced them, confronted you, survived it, then you can say, now unto him who is able to keep me on my feet without blemish, bright, fresh, and celebrating. I want to share something with you. August 28th, 2018, I had a massive stroke. And it was a massive hemorrhagic stroke, a brain bleed. And it was traumatic on many levels. There's much I could say about that. But I stand here today with no visible sign that I had such a massive stroke. It was not easy to get here, but I got here. Some months ago, I want you to hear this. Some months ago, I was in my neurologist's office, and I was lamenting some of the neurological issues I had been dealing with since then. And my neurologist sat back in his chair, looked at me, and he said, "Pastor, I want to show you something." He pulled up on his screen the MRI from my stroke, the first day of the stroke. You could see the blood in the MRI. The blood is bright on the screen. And you could see, because the stroke was caused by a tumor I had in my brain, and you could see the tumor on that MRI. You saw the tumor, a dark spot in the midst of the bright spot, which was blood. And he said something. He said, "Pastor," he said, "if I took this MRI and showed it to any of my colleagues and then introduced them to you, they would not believe that you were the person who suffered this traumatic stroke." He said, "because you truly don't look like you have had a stroke." As he said that, a little tear started coming down my eye, and I didn't want to cry in front of the doctor, so I got up and made my way out. And I walked out of the doctor's office. I walked to the elevator. I got in the elevator, went down to the main lobby, came out the main lobby, walked two blocks to the parking garage, got in the parking garage, and everything the doctor had just said to me hit me. And the only thing I could say was, "now unto him who is able to keep me on my feet." And here's the part it says in the Message Bible, fresh. Oh, you missed that. Can I get churchy? That means I don't look like what I've been through. That means fresh. And here's the part, fresh. There are a whole lot of us in here who survived some things, and if people knew your whole story and knew everything that you've been through in your life, they would not even imagine how you made it this far. Why? Because God kept you looking fresh. After everything you've been through, people are still confused that you're still standing fresh. But here's your responsibility. It said, "now unto him who is able to keep you on your feet fresh." Here's your part, celebrating. What does that mean? You can't sit here in Greenwood today knowing everything that God has done for you and sit here and not celebrate what God has done in your life. And I wish I just had a handful of y'all in here today who could testify that God has been a keeper in my life. And every time I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that God has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. God is a keeper. And here's your response, Greenwood, today. You have a role to play in this sermonic moment. Because at the end of this passage in the Message Bible, it does not say amen. It says yes. In other words, it comes as a word of affirmation to all that God has done in your life. And your natural response is to say what? Yes, yes. Is God a keeper? Yes. Has he made a way for you? Had God opened doors for you? When people counted you out, you still survived? Yes. Yes is the word that ought to be on your lip. When you leave here today, yes. When you get home, yes. When you wake up in the morning, yes. Yes, God, you kept me every step of the way. And I have to celebrate who you are in my life. And when you think about what you survived, what you've endured, and how you surrender to God, then you can say, "now unto him who is able and has been able, has kept me on my feet, a little battle weary, but still here, a little bruised, but still here, sometimes a little bloody, but still here, a little worn, but still here. Now unto him who is able to keep you on your feet. To God be power,
dominion, majesty, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. And amen. Do me a favor. I want everybody to stand on your feet. Stand on your feet today. If you could just play something soft in the back. Yeah. I want us to pray today. One, those of us who are here today, and we know that we stand among the ranks of survivors. And I don't know who you are, but I know you're here. And this may be, we don't know what tomorrow brings, what the next hour brings, but you're here now. And if you can testify that you are among the ranks of the survivors, because you survived some things, I want you to just step out of your seat and just come forward. We want to pray together. I know we've had this family prayer, but this is a survivor's prayer today. If God has been keeping you on your feet, I want you to come down today. We want to just talk to God together. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. We want to come today. Because you need to know that this is a great cloud of witnesses who survived many things and endured many things. But we're here. We're here. Before I left FCBC, I had to preach the first service. And Pastor Willa, I talked about how when Jesus said you can't put new wine in old wineskins. Because if you try to put new wine in old wineskins, it'll burst. And we hear that scripture. And we understand that scripture. And we don't always understand totally what Jesus is referring to. And so this process where they would get goatskin most of the time and they would put the crushed grapes in the goatskin, not wine, crush the grapes. Now here's the part you got to hear. The wine is what they were trying to produce. But they put the crushed grapes in the goatskin. Why? Because the skin, Pastor Willa, of the grapes, when crushed, would release yeast. The yeast in the skin of the grapes is what would cause the fermentation and turn the sugar from the grapes into alcohol. I want you to catch that. As the fermentation process started taking, you can see it by the bubbling of that liquid that was produced, the sugar being converted to alcohol. It said the wine, the skin would stretch. As the wine was being, the grapes were being converted, it stretched. Jesus said, you can't put new wine in wineskins that have already been stretched or they will burst. You got to put it in new wineskins, but that's not what I want to talk about. The activating agent of transformation in the process is yeast. It converts the sugar to alcohol. But you can't get the activating transformative agent until you crush the grape. Did you hear this? I know there have been moments in my own life where I thought I was being crushed, not realizing that God was trying to get the activating transformative agent out of me. The crushing had an intention. It was to produce something powerful and beautiful in my life. It is not that we don't always understand that, but every now and again, we have to be reminded with new language what we're going through, what we're enduring in this season. So if you come up here today, I want you to just join hands with somebody who's next to you so that you know you're not by yourself. You're not alone. Yeah. Let's go to God in prayer. God, we bless your name on today. And we honor you, O God. Thank you, O God, for the road to our now. Thank you, O God, for giving us the strength to face them, confront ourselves, and then to survive the things we've gone through. God, we realize, O God, that these words come through many tears and at times much sorrow and at other times much hardship. But God, we are grateful that we can give you all the glory now because you've always been a keeper. And the truth is, O God, that every time we turn around, you keep on making a way. And we celebrate that today. God, there's somebody here right now who's at the crushing grape of the crushing of the winemaking process, oh God, that they feel like they're going through so much right now, enduring so much. God, remind them, oh God, this is just activating transformation in their lives. And even though it's difficult at times, oh God, there will come a day when we reflect back over what we went through and we'll be able to say genuinely, thank you. Thank you, God, for every tear. And thank you, God, for all the challenges. And thank you, God, for the things that introduced me to my own strength. Thank you, because I found out, oh God, that sometimes you can only get stronger when you realize that strength is all you have left. So, God, we just say thank you for that. Now, oh God, as we lift up Greenwood before you, and not only Greenwood, oh God, but this pastor, remind them, oh God, that they are on a journey to now. And what you do with them and through them, oh God, is to bring a great testimony out of them of how you've moved in this place, how you transformed this space and thereby this community, the work of this place. God, never let them forget that you have great plans for them. Never let them forget, oh God, that they are necessary to get the work done. Never let them forget, oh God, that the best is yet to come. Lord, we thank you today. We honor you. We bless your name because you are worthy. It is in your name, oh God, we pray. And we say, amen, amen, amen. Come on, give somebody a hug and tell them you love them today. God bless.